The letter to Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Lord, when we think of heirs, we think of something far different. I pray, Lord, that we may realize the great inheritance that we have, because you chose at the perfect time to send your Son to redeem those who would come and take hold of you. I pray, Lord, that everyone here will have done that and really received and taken hold of your Son Jesus in their life. Open our ears this morning, Lord, that we might rejoice in your holy word and rejoice in the message you have for us. In Christ's name, amen. One of the great movies of all time is It's a Wonderful Life. Did you know that when it came out, it was not a success? But as we all know, as the years have gone by, it every year it finds itself on TV and is one of the most loved movies that we know of. And if you remember anything about the story, the main character is George Bailey. And George Bailey wanted to leave his city where he was living in Bedford Falls and travel around the world. But his father died and he took over the building and loan that his father had started. But as time wore on, his uncle, if you remember his uncle, misplaced $8,000. And that old Mr. Potter, who was the mean guy in the movie, found it, and George Bailey got very, very afraid because he knew that he was liable for it. He took the blame for it, and he thought he was going to prison. Then, as you know, if you remember, an angel came, and he wanted to show George. George was going to do something to himself to harm himself, if you remember. And that angel came and showed him, I want to show you what everything would be like if you had not been born. And he took him all around Bedford Falls and how everything was dismal. People were sad. Things were not the same just because he had not been there. In a way, it reminds us, just to think Jesus had never been born. Not only would we not be here, but I'm sure there would be a whole lot more evil. And as we look at the world, we know there's a lot of evil already, don't we? There would be a whole lot more because we have the Holy Spirit within us guiding us as we move on in our Christian lives. But if Jesus had never been born, look at all that would have been changed. But he came at just the right time. At just the right time he came. So I want to invite you to take this sheet, turn it over, and hopefully you'll take some notes this morning. You may have not have looked at this. This is a great couple of Christian and Christmas verses for us. When the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son. And there are three possible meanings for the word fullness in the Greek. One is a woman carrying her baby to full term. That's one of the meanings. A woman carrying her baby to full term. Full term. Another is getting older, being full of years. And some of you are not quite full of years yet. Some of you are getting there. Some of us are full of ears. Others are full of ears. The third meaning is that God appointed the time. And that's what we have here. That's the meaning. That the time was appointed by the Father. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. Three things made it the right time. Why was it the right time? When the fullness of time, what makes it the right time? Why was it right? Three reasons. One, it was the right time religiously. There was an air of expectancy in the whole world at that time. You know, we may wonder today, I wonder when Jesus is coming back. I'm not so sure that all around the world there's an air of expectancy, but at that time there was an air of expectancy. Josephus is a Jewish historian. And those of you that love to study, there is a very thick history like this. I have one of these in my office. The book is this thick, and the print is so tiny you need a magnifying glass to read it, and the book is that thick. He tells us that during that time, the Jewish people expected a great ruler to arise, and this great ruler would rule the world. Suetonius, who was a Roman historian, tells us basically the same thing, that the world was expecting this ruler to come out of Judea, not to come out of Rome. Suetonius was a Roman historian, that this great ruler would come out of Judea. It was the right time culturally. It was the right time culturally. Alexander the Great, who had conquered most of the world, had spread the Greek culture and the Greek language everywhere. And what was so important about that? Well, just as English is kind of like a universal language today, Greek was a universal language in a sense back then. I know I've mentioned this a couple of times, more than a couple. The Bible that Jesus and the apostles used, the disciples, the Old Testament, that everybody used, the Jewish people, was the Septuagint. It's the Greek Old Testament. They didn't use it written in Hebrew. They used the Septuagint because that was the language that was common back then. And the culture was permeated with the Greek culture. It was the right time politically. Alexander the Great was in the 300 BC. Rome comes along and conquers the world again. And with Rome, it brought political stability to the land because they established what history calls the Pax Romana. The Pax Romana. 200 years of peace. We can't even do that today. We can't even have 3 days of peace anywhere in the world. I don't know if we've ever had 3 days of peace in the world. But as you know, Rome ruled the known world at that time for 1,000 years. They had 200 years of peace, and they kept it. And they kept it. Not only that, but what else they did, they paved over 50,000 miles of roads. 50,000 miles of roads. I don't know about you, but it seems the past couple of months, and you try to go on Broadhead Road, and you head down toward the mall, and how much they've had that torn up, and they have it in one lane, and you're backed up about 40 or 50 cars sometimes. I thought, wow, I wonder how they did that back then. How would they possibly pave 50,000 miles of road? You know what that did? That made it much easier to spread the gospel, because there were roads that the Christians could carry. And as a result of that, the gospel spread mightily. It spread mightily. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. This verse has been called the scandal of particularity. It's been called the scandal of particularity. Why? It was through a particular nation. at a particular time, at a time set by God, in a particular place, set by God, by a particular person, that God fully revealed his purposes and presence. It didn't just happen. It was an appointed time, in the fullness of time, a scandal of particularity, where God sends his Son. But what happened if Jesus had never been born? I imagine would be all kind of a little more wilder. Our nation, as much as it seems going off course in many areas today, would be even crazier. There'd be even more wars than there are now. When you think of all the nations that at one time where Christ has been pronounced and preached, it would be a far worse world that we live in at this time. And again, I want to urge you. We hear it all the time. Not just keep Christ in Christmas. Keep Christ in your heart. Keep Christ in your heart. All the time. When you get up in the morning. I'm trying to think, and please don't take it this way. I'm not. For us, it was very, very important that our children take hold of Christ. Almost every room in our house, there's some kind of saying or wooden piece of something that shows something pointing to Christ. When you come into our door, it says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." We wanted Christ to be seen everywhere, not only in our house, but in us. But in us, because we know how hard it is to take hold of Christ. But these verses don't only show that God sent his Son at a particular time. It tells us why Jesus was sent. These verses tell us why he was sent. Jesus was sent to redeem us. Jesus was sent to redeem us. Redemption. Redemption. Verse 5 says, to redeem them that were under the law. You know that your youngest child needs redeemed? No matter how cute, no matter how cute your infant might be, he or she needs redeemed. Do you know how, no matter how good you may be, or how good you may think you are, you need redeemed. If you have never taken hold of Christ in your life, you need redeemed. Many of you, or most of you, have credit cards. And you probably accumulate a lot of points. And then you go to redeem them because you could get stuff. Or maybe you could go stay someplace for a couple days if you have enough points, your credit cards. But for me, and whenever I talk about redemption, I always talk about this. And whenever redemption comes up, for me, S&H green stamps. When I was growing up, my parents used to have books like that. And you would go shopping, and you get so many S&H green stamps because most of the stores participated in this. How many remember that? That's a lot of people. And you would save these things. And you know what? There was a redemption center in Northern Lights, and it was called the Redemption Center. And when you got enough, we never really got enough to get some of the things that they had there. But it was great fun. I remember that as a kid. I remember that. It was a redemption center. And you would redeem the stamps. Well, the word redeem means to secure the release of someone in debt or bondage. You know that before you come to Christ, you're in bondage to sin. Do you know before you come to Christ, there's a big debt that you cannot pay yourself? It means also to buy back by the paying of a ransom. To buy back by paying of a ransom. And when we think of a ransom, we think of someone being kidnapped and are being held for ransom, and a great sum of money has to be paid so that they can be released. In the case of us, who we are all born with sin, the only thing that will take care of the ransom is the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. I love this verse. This is one of those verses that you should write inside your Bible, that you should memorize. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed. For you know that it was not with all the money in the world that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. I want to just take a look at that a second. What is God basically calling a life that just kind of goes along and fits in perfectly with the culture? The empty way of life handed down to you. It's good life. I like that life. But know this, it's only short. It's very, very short. It's not going to last too long. And that's why it's been called an empty way of life handed, because that's after that, it's the end. So if you put all of your marbles in that one bag, if all you're doing is just that, just think how worthless it's going to be. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And of course, if you know anything about the scriptures, you know that in the Old Testament, the Jewish people had to have a pet lamb. And they took care of that lamb all year. That lamb had to be perfect. It had to be perfect without any kind of defect. And then they would sacrifice it on the Day of Atonement. And it was meant to cover their sins. And all that did, that we see in the Old Testament, the Jewish people did, was to point to the perfect lamb in the New Testament. Jesus Christ, who is the perfect lamb. And I can remember many, many, many years ago how that impacted me when I read about that in Hebrews. I thought, wow, now I know what that means, that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Because for many years, I had no idea what that meant, that Jesus is the Lamb of God and how he died for us and he saved us. Jesus was sent, the second thing here, Jesus was sent to adopt us as his children. He didn't come just to forgive us, as big as that is. To be forgiven is fantastic, because if you take hold of Christ, you know, as the Apostle John writes, I write these things so that you may know you have eternal life. You can know you have eternal life. He didn't come just to offer forgiveness. He came to put us into his family, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You know, one of the very important parts of who we are at Center Point is that we're always trying to bring people closer. Family. God talks about the church being the household of faith. Family of faith. Household, same word. Oikos. Oikos, I love that word. Oikos. And it means household, family. It's not just your own family. And what Christians miss sometimes is that it's us four and no more. Their own family. It's not. Christians are a big family. Our big family, and we are to be looking at that as the same. What if you just say you were the parents, and you never really paid attention to your children? It was just you two. Well, in a sense, it's the same thing. This is a big family. The church is a big family. It's not just a couple of people. It's the whole church. It's the whole church. That we might receive the adoption. Four benefits of adoption in Roman law. In Roman law. And this is very, very important. One, the adopted person received a new father. You can see the analogy with Christianity. The adopted person received a new father. When you're adopted into the family of God, you receive a new father, a new heavenly father. You take the name and honors of the new father. You take his name, you take all of his honors. They're passed on. As Christians, you know, God's word, you're going to receive a new name. I don't know what it is. I don't know what your name, I don't know what my name is going to be. Became a legitimate son of the new family. A legitimate son. We have a view, a certain view of adoption. But you're a legitimate son. Second, the adopted person became heir to his father's estate. Became heir to his father's, everything that his father had, that his father who adopted him, he was heir. He became heir to it. Even if other sons were born, look at this. Even if other sons were born after, the adopted son was the heir. Even if other sons were born, it's the adopted son who came first that was legitimate heir. Third, the adopted person's debts and obligations were canceled completely. I hope you're seeing how this fits in so perfectly with Christianity. Fourth, the adopted son became the true son of his father. This is my son, not just my adopted son. This is my daughter, not just my adopted daughter. This is my true son. This is my true daughter. Now, one of my favorite movies, Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur, because there's so much in it. There's action, there's story, there's Christ. It is fantastic. And I saw it was on TV yesterday. And I taped it again at some point. Probably over this next week and a half. I'm going to watch it again because it's that great. If you've never seen it, you have to see it. If your children haven't seen it, it's long. You have to have them see it. They got to see it. I'm talking about the first one, not the second one. Not the one that's out a couple years ago. This one. And it's the story of Judah Ben-Hur, a prominent Jew who is falsely accused by his good friend. And as a result, is sent to be a galley slave in the Roman vessels. And he is a galley slave where he's condemned to be rowing. And then one day, as they're rowing, and this is a long time, he's been there for a couple years now doing this, they are attacked by Macedonian pirates. You got to watch out for those Macedonians. Do we have any Macedonians here today? Any Macedonians? I see one. I see two. One's missing. The main Macedonian is missing. She's probably watching kids out there. See, we read about Macedonians in the scripture all the time. I have Macedonians in my family. I'm not Macedonian, but I'm married to one, and I have children that are Macedonians. These Macedonian pirates rammed that ship. But in so doing, it was Judah Ben-Hur who saved the general Arius. And in saving Arius, he took him back to Rome and adopted him as his son. And everything that I just kind of showed you about Roman adoption, he did with Judah Ben-Hur. He gave him the name of Arius and gave him Arius's ring. And that everybody, if you remember back, they would stick that ring in a type of wax and they would, everybody knew the seal of Arius. He went back to the homeland. They couldn't touch him. They were amazed. His whole status was different. His debts were canceled. That's what Jesus has done for us. And so many times, I think we've heard the story so much that we kind of said, yes, my sins are forgiven. But I've told you so many times when I was good little Stevie Veselich until I really saw far worse than I ever thought. I thank God always that he has cleansed me and saved me. I always want to give him thanks for what he's done. Verse 6 in our reading, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Let me give you some famous people who have been adopted. Jamie Foxx, Faith Hill, Eric Clapton, for you guitar people, Tim McGraw, Michael Orr, who is famous from the Blind Side movie, Steve Jobs, Babe Ruth, Gerald Ford, Edgar Allan Poe, Nancy Reagan, all famous people. I don't know if any of them are Christians, but I know this. They might be famous, but they can't compare to being adopted by Jesus Christ. You are far more famous to God and important to God if you've received and taken hold of him and are living your life for him, because you are adopted sons and daughters. So, how does Abba care for you? Abba, how does Abba care for you? He is the Father who loves you when you're at your very worst. You know, when you really mess up, when you really mess up, boy, oh boy, what's wrong with me? How can I call me? He loves you and woos you back. He seeks you out when you've gone astray. He doesn't just want to leave you out there. Come on. Come on, Lou. He knows you even before you were born. He is available day and night. He never sleeps. And I know some of you, God wakes you up sometimes in the middle of the night, because some of you, and you are such great prayer warriors, that you God puts something on your heart and you're praying. I know that. He provides for your needs and security. He blesses you with good gifts. He has engraved you on the palm of his hands. He has engraved you on the palm of his hands. Whenever you're tempted to think that God has forgotten you, and I know, being mere humans, we sometimes think that. We sometimes think that God has forgets us. He doesn't. He doesn't forget us. If you ever had that sense of feeling because things are going bad, look at your palms and remember that God has engraved you in the palm of his hands. The word picture that's given to us in Scripture isn't just that your name is there. The word picture is that you are there. That's the word picture, that you're there. Not just his name, not just your name, but that you're engraved. Tom, can you get the lights and take a look at this? You'll have to read it. That's part of the verse before. In the fullness of time, God sent his son at just the right time. I am so blessed that I was born during this time, because I don't know if I would have taken hold of him back then. We all have so much more than they had. They didn't have the Gospels. We do. They didn't have radio. They didn't have Christian bookstores. They didn't have Christian book distributors online or Amazon, where you can get music, where you could get books, you can get all kinds of things. I want to urge you, as this year ends and as a new year begins, take hold of him even more in your life and give more of yourself in so many different ways to him. Why? Because he deserves that and more when you think how short this life is. And those of you that have parents, if you're a young parent or middle age, just talk to your parents that might be in their 60s or 70s. Talk to them. Ask them how fast life goes. Ask them if they wish they had given God more. I'm sure they'll say, yes, I wish I had. We have opportunities to give God more of ourselves to him. It's there. We have the same amount of time. Be that person. And all of God's people said, amen. Musicians. Yes, he is. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for life. I give you thanks, Lord, for a redeemed life. May we, as your people, seek. May we have the same eyes that Jesus had when he looked out at the crowd and the people. Help us, Lord, even at this special time, to speak of your wondrous power and grace, for we have this opportunity at Christmas to do that. Ask a special blessing upon our people. Bless them, Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May we go forth knowing that you have redeemed us and that we will spend eternity with you forever. Amen. Don't forget tomorrow, 7 o'clock, is our candlelight service. All kinds of things happening. Elders will be up here. If you need special prayer, Pastor Steve will be over here. I am not going to greet you this morning because we need to practice the choir up here. We need to get really ready. So please forgive me. I'd be glad to greet you tomorrow night. God bless you all. See you all tomorrow evening.